Welcome in, everybody. It's All Pro Lines, the podcast. I'm your host, Kostaki Economopoulos. And this is a very special episode because it is the return of Aaron Hodges will be here to talk to us, co-founder of Quick Snaps, the podcast that became All Pro Lines, the podcast. Great friend of mine, great friend of the podcast, the very backbone of the podcast. He's going to be here as our guest today. So it'll be nice to talk to Aaron, catch up with him a little bit. Sorry, I've been running around doing some posting and organizing and schlepping and writing. And Mondays are busy for a football joke writing boy like me. It's a great weekend in the NFL. A couple of quick words off the top about the Georgia Bulldogs. Here, and I'll show you this. I'll put this on the – look at this. For those of you who are watching, I'm holding up a ticket to the national championship game of college football last year. This was a gift from my friend Jeff, who weaseled it. And the big picture gift was from the Bob and Tom show. They paid for me to go to that. And it stands as my greatest sporting event of my life by far. I was hammered with Jeff and Mike and Meg, and it was awesome. And every touchdown they scored, they won by like some crazy 7 touchdowns. And every touchdown they scored, I cheered just as much as the touchdown prior. Anyway, I bring all that up because Georgia has been left out of the national championship picture this year. And if it's the end of the run, it was awesome. They're a machine that's built for further success from here, but you never know how these things go. And the last 3 years have just been a pleasure for him. Georgia football nerd like myself. So thank you, Bulldogs. Kudos to everything you've been doing, Kirby Smart and the whole bunch of characters over there. It's been really awesome. Georgia is set to play Florida State in the Pound Sand Bowl, so that'll be nice. good luck to those two. We wish things were better teams. So it goes. You know what they should do next year is have some more teams in the college football playoff. I think that would be That might be a good idea. I should pitch that to somebody. I think that would be better. So it is. The Falcons are not mathematically eliminated. In fact, they have reached mediocrity, everybody. They are 6-6 in first place in the division. So maybe we should play the music that
the
we do.
The 2-minute drill.
Falcons coach Arthur Smith said Kyle Pitts is a big part of this offense. That makes me think of Princess Bride. You know, big. You keep saying that word. I did not think that word means what you think it means. Ladies, if Arthur tells you he's got a big surprise for you in his pants, just know that it's along the lines of 2 targets for 22 yards. That's a big part of the offense. We had a weather delay at Pittsburgh and a points delay in New England. I think the Patriots have a better chance controlling the weather than the scoreboard. Chargers beat the Patriots 6-0. If you watched that game, you got what you deserved. What the hell? It's false advertising to claim that anything about that game was charged. It's not charged. Forcing people to watch that might be unconstitutional. That is cruel and unusual punishment. Turns out Bill Belichick is a vampire that you can kill with 2 field goals. That's all it takes. Tom Brady sent a sympathy bouquet of avocados. Patriots made NFL history. We're going to discuss this. You know what? We'll save that for the quiz time portion of the show. There's a teaser. That's what they call it, show business, a teaser. I see Aaron Hodges is in the lobby here. We can bring him in just a sec. I think the Patriots were waiting to shoot until they saw the whites of their eyes. They must not have seen them. Must not have. Listen, this is a little indulgent, but this is fun. Listen to the Patriots' 10 possessions in this game. Punt, fumble, punt, 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 downs, downs. Turnover on downs. Twice at the end after punt, fumble, punt, 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 punt. Oh, so great to see them struggling. The Cowboys-Seahawks game, there were no punts, or as the Patriots call that, fantasy football. Patriots haven't looked this bad since January 6th. Am I right, everybody? Hey, that's not political joke, because even if you're on that team, they still did. It didn't look good. That's all I'm saying. Dolphins did a roller coaster celebration after Tyreek Hill's touchdown. Like Tyreek is tall enough to ride a roller coaster. Patriots should do a free fall celebration. Remember that ride with the, you just fall just into the abyss? That was a fun ride. Joe Flacco looked good for the Browns on Sunday. I wonder if the Jets have ever heard of that guy. You think maybe the Jets need a quarter. Maybe they would. No. Flacco was a longtime Raven. So a Browns jersey, kind of a throwback for him. It's a throwback to the Ravens because they were. Flacco's the 37th quarterback to start for the Browns since 1999. Wow. That is an astounding stat. Colts had two blocked punts in one game, but they can't block Jim Irsay's mouth. That is what a shame. That would be a block cunt. Huh? When it's, can you say that word? I don't know. They should send their special teams in when Irsay has a presser. When the Colts block a punt, is Pat McAfee happy or sad? We should get Pat on the horn on this one. Cause he's a Colts fan, but he's a punt. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what he, I don't know. He had a lot to think about. The Colts block a punt. Deshaun Watson's questionable. He's definitely not playing. He's just questionable. And I want to remind everybody. Browns wideout Michael Woods, who has missed the season because of an injury, has been suspended for the rest of the year for violating the personal conduct policy. You got to hand it to him. He hasn't even played a game this year, and he's on the same page with his quarterback. I got to. All right, we stumbled on this on one of the prior episodes. So this is a movie idea elevator pitch. All right, it's Ocean's 11 meets Home Alone. It's like a fun, like, buddy comedy where they're on a mission. Two frustrated Browns fans stumble onto the Deshaun Watson contract. It's fully guaranteed for as long as he's alive. And they realize they have to off him to save the franchise. It's called Killing Deshaun. Oh, this would be, could be like a holiday favorite. People love that. Nathaniel Dell broke his fibula. He goes by Tank. He has been downgraded to Jeep. Word is Roger Goodell. Let's close on this one. Word is Roger Goodell. Let's take three. Third time's a charm. Word is Roger Goodell wants to ban the tush push. I get it. Tush pushing was only allowed in my marriage the first couple of years too. So that makes sense. It makes sense. Let's do a couple quick announcements. You guys know the drill here. Patreon. In the old days, the patronage system was the folks who had some means would support the artistic things happening around them. A king would have an artist like live on the edge of the property and do his crazy thing over there and send him food and support him. You know, the modern version is Patreon. Patreon took the word from the old version because that's exactly what they were trying to. The modern version is you just put like a little, like $1 or $5 or $20 a month on a thing for a thing that you like. You support the arts and the crafts and the whatever the things that you like are with your dollars. You vote with your dollars. That's capitalism. So we encourage you to go to patreon.com and type in All Pro Lines and check it out. We got a couple perks, get a thing, and you feel like you're supporting a thing that you. I'm the worst salesman in the world, but we enjoy doing this podcast and we appreciate your support, guys. Also, give us a 5-star review on whatever your listening platform is. We once Aaron and I got a review from a guy who loved the show, gave us 1 star because he thought that was the best. We want 5 stars. That's 5's better than 1 in the way that they do the thing. Today's Monday. If you happen to hear this before tomorrow night, December 5th, I believe, if I have that right. I'm going to look and make sure I got the date right super fast here. Yeah, just Tuesday, December 5th, I'm at the Hollywood Improv. It's on Melrose. If you're in LA, come see me. It's an all sports show. They asked me to come do a bunch of football jokes. It'll be fun. I've never done an all sports show. Seems weird, but somehow I've never done that. And then this weekend, I'll be in Fargo and Sioux Falls. I'm doing the Atlanta Punchline Christmas week. And then in January, I am doing Erie and Ashtabula, Ohio. Blah, 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 blah. We came here to talk to Aaron Hodges. You know him. You love him. He's the co-founder of this whole damn thing. He's also the founder and CEO of You Lucky Dog Productions, a company that puts out my comedy albums and many, many, many other great comedy albums. Ladies and gentlemen, you know him. You love him. Aaron Hodges.
Wow.
Hey, buddy.
What's up, man? This is weird.
I know, right?
This is weird. How are you? Good to hear from you, man. I mean, I was enjoying your jokes, especially when you kind of put a hit out on Deshaun Watson with that movie pitch. That was interesting.
You know, it's a fully guaranteed contract, but maybe there's a loophole. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, everything's got a loophole, right?
Maybe there's a way out.
Yeah.
How are you, friend? It's been too long.
Yeah, I know. Long time. I'm good. Soccer is my life now. So
that's what I want to hear about. Tell us. Some people who listen to this love you. What's going on? Tell us about soccer. Tell us what's happening with you. I know a little bit just because I talked to you off air briefly a couple weeks ago. But
well, I guess it's probably know much. I guess it was probably about the time when I stopped being the co-host of this thing, when my brother asked me to help coach his son's teams, and that's what I started doing. And now it seems to be my calling in life. I don't know. I really love it. So I coached three teams just this past season, and it was absolute chaos. But that's like that's what I wake up thinking about, and that's what I go to sleep thinking about. These kids are all-encompassing. It's wild.
How old are these kids?
They're 9, 10, and 11.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. That was my favorite age group when I was a camp counselor, because they were young enough that they would just like chase you over the hills and giggle and laugh. Yeah. And they weren't old enough to be jaded or think something wasn't cool. You know, they were just like earnest and playful, and, you know, they were easy to kind of coach at things. That's what I
yeah. remember. And somebody, I was having a conversation with my brother the other day about like how you earn these kids respect. And it was like, all you have to do is just punt the ball really high. And they go, whoa!
That's great. Yeah, they're not, that's exactly what's beautiful about that age group. They're not jaded. They actually are impressed by things that people who are bigger than them can do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's great, man. Cool. So, all right. I'm trying to remember. It's been, I played soccer in that era, but it's been a minute. So are you in the, are they advanced enough to get that sometimes to go forward, you pass the ball backwards? Are we there yet on this age group?
Some of the teams that they played are that advanced, and they, I feel like I kind of just want to talk about the one team that I'm the head coach for. I'll talk about them. The U10. They're going to be, I hope next season they're going to be that advanced, but they pretty much just know, like, kick the ball, go forward. And they have so much work to do on learning how to be good teammates, and even the concept of that they're on a team and that they're not just out there by themselves. You know what I mean? So they need a lot of work on individual skills, and hopefully the team concepts will come soon.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny when they're little kids, like way earlier than this, people who don't know soccer, I mean, you can imagine that this is true, but if you've never seen it, it might surprise you. It's basically just a swarm of bees following ball around the field, which is kind of, of course, that's what it is. And one kid will sit down and play with the grass, like off on his own.
That's what
I'm curious, because I know that phase, and I know, like, high school soccer can be pretty impressive. Some of those kids are really good. And so there's a lot in between. I just don't know where they are at 9. You know, it's an interesting phase.
It is. Yeah. I mean, you can see the difference in some of the other teams that are like a little bit more advanced. So they're able to like keep their positions on the field and spread the field out a little bit and have that discipline. Right. So it's like, I want to point that out when that happens to us, like why that happened, right? Like, because that guy was patient on the other side of the field and the ball found him. And look at that. There was no one around him. He just dribbled right to the goal, you know? So, I'm enjoying those type of moments, those teachable moments, because there's plenty of frustrations that come with it. Lots of, like you're mentioning, I was going to say, like, we got kids that, like, don't want to be there necessarily, you know? So when we're doing stuff in practice, there's a kid that, if he doesn't like it, and he doesn't do this all the time, but he'll just be like, I don't want to do it. And then he'll try to run away into the woods.
I had to kind of drag a five-year-old into kindergarten this morning, so I can relate to that situation.
Yeah, yeah, it's probably pretty similar, yeah.
So, I don't want to do it.
Yeah, so he just runs away, dude. It's crazy. But yeah, no, it's like, it's wild how much soccer is my life now, because like I took a 15-year gap of not really playing or coaching or doing anything, and now I'm playing and coaching. The Sundays are like, I have four games on Sundays, so I don't watch a lot of football anymore.
That's hilarious. So you're playing in a game and then you're coaching three different games?
Yeah, I play in my old man over 40 team. And so those games are usually early. And then, you know, there's some days where I coach three games after that too.
Oh, my goodness. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Wait, tell me about over 40 soccer. I mean, those some of the guys that are between 40 and 50 are better, really fucking good, right? Are they a bunch of like European dudes?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Soccer? Yeah.
It's also funny how, like, what's the right word? But I guess like it's not segregated, but there's certain teams where we don't even say, oh, we're playing Old Bridge. Oh, we're playing the Polish team. You know, playing I guess we play like a Polish team, we play like a Greek team and like Russians, and it's just like, it's wild, dude. It's wild.
Oh, that's cool. I love that. I never thought of that, but of course they all play together. That makes sense.
Yeah. So like they're speaking all kinds of languages, and yeah, there's some teams that have players that are really, really good. And my team is just like middle of the pack. You know, we're the best mediocre team.
All right. That's something. Right. That's way better than I played a little bit of adult soccer. Like probably the last time I did it was in an organized way. It was like at the college level, like grad students kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And grad students at an American university, those are some good fucking soccer players, because most of them are from somewhere else.
Right.
And they, I mean, at the time we thought we were old because we were whatever, mid 20s, you know, mm-hmm. early to mid 20s.
Your dreams of going pro are over. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of those guys were good. Like I can imagine like Andreas would play in an over 40. He's a fucking great soccer player. Right. I mean,
he was real good. Right.
Athlete. Yeah. He went to school for free and was running around kicking the ball for years.
Nice.
So, yeah, I mean, you forget, like, people have soccer in their blood. They don't want to stop playing just because they've grown up. So what if you're 60 and plus? Is there a different group, or it's just at 40 and more anything else?
There is an over 50, but I think it stops there.
Okay. That's the last cutoff.
Yeah. We have guys on a team that are pushing 60, and I'm like, I can't believe they're still playing at that age. Like, I can't imagine playing at that age. And I'm just like, they're holding on to playing over 40. Like, I don't want to talk too much smack about them, but like, it's time to go up to over 50. You know what I mean?
You're talking about the Pollocks? Is that what you're talking about? That's great. I love that. It's so funny because you're playing, you have under 10, and then you've got over four, like these, you got to categorize humans in a way to keep it
competitive. I know. Yeah.
It's a funny construct. Mm-hmm. Well, as you may or may not remember, we live stream this on Facebook Live.
Yeah.
There's a little cabal of characters who love to follow us there, and they are very excited to see Aaron Hodges' face. It's cool.
Oh, that's
Ryan
nice,
Chambers. Man. Aaron's back. Awesome. Ron Milford's in here, and Jerry Oliver, and Brad Venuti's like, Aaron, can't listen, but I'll listen later.
Nice.
Yeah, there's a bunch of people excited to see you. Marge Economopoulos. Hey, Aaron, we missed you.
Oh, hey, Marge.
Andrea Todd. Aaron!
I recognize all these names. I miss you guys. Yeah, that's awesome.
Right. Wow, it's nice to have you back, buddy. So when you are there things that you do in your life where you're like, normally, I mean, in the old days, I would take this on the podcast and talk about this. Do you ever have those moments where you see a football highlight? You're like, Stucky and I could knock this around for a while.
Those moments are fleeting. even like being on this podcast right now, I was trying to think about it. I think a good comparison is probably like, do you remember when you started feeling like you were too old to be at a bar or a club? You start looking around and you're like, these are babies. I don't think I belong here.
Yes.
So I'm out of my element.
I have that about once a month still. Some comic will drag me to a place after a show and I'm like,
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure you get dragged to some places where you're just like, dude, like, what am I even going to talk about with these people? I don't know. You asked me to like think of taps on the back. So I'm like, all right, let me think of something. I got something. But
we can go. Oh, you know, we can do it now since you segued us.
All right.
You love this song. It'll be nice for you to hear.
Now that's a club that I can be at. Thank you.
Man. A lot of people probably know, and maybe some don't know. You're the one who put together all these drops. Yeah, you and Glenn were goofing around, and that one's a classic. Aaron Hodges.
I had a great time with Glenn in the basement putting those together.
I'm gonna give some kudos to Jordan Love. I watched this whole game last night, and he was up against Patrick Mahomes, the standard of his position. Patrick Mahomes was 21 for 33 for 210 yards, one touchdown, one interception. That's fine. That's some Mitch Trubisky looking numbers right there. Jordan Love, 25 for 36, 267 yards, three touchdowns, no picks. At home, hosting the Chiefs, one of the scariest teams in the league, and they beat them, and they look good doing it. So kudos to, there's all this chaos and furor around the Aaron Rodgers story and the drafting of Jordan Love, and none of that's his fault. He's just a kid who was trying to play football, and then he goes to a place where, I mean, I've traveled. I'm in 50 states, man, and nobody cares as a group more about pro football than Wisconsin. They are into it. I mean, it is crazy. And I know he's been under fire this season, and people are like, he sucks and whatever. He looked great. He's been hot, cold. He's been on and off, but he's got some potential, and I'm kind of rooting for him. I thought he looked great. So kudos, man.
Kudos. How are they doing, the Packers? Are they doing okay?
I don't know that off the top of my head. I think they're middle of the pack. I think they're like the bottom of the wild card race at who would be in at this point if you ended the season. Let me I'll look this up while we're sitting here.
Are they one of the best mediocre teams?
Yeah, I think they're the bottom. They're like a lower middle class, you know what I mean? They're the bottom of the group that's going to get into the playoffs is what I think they are. Because I think the Vikings are likely to be the winner out of their why is this taking so long? The Vikings are likely to be the team out of that division. Not the Vikings, the Lions. I'm dumb. Lions are 9-3. Vikings and Packers are both 6-6. So they're right on the cusp. If you're looking at one of those graphics on the sports shows, they're in the pile of in the hunt.
Yeah, right. The Lions at 9-3. That's incredible.
Yeah, there's some crazy thing that's going around this weekend. That hasn't happened since 1962, I think was the year.
Wow. 62.
I know, right?
You that's weren't even time. Born yet.
I wasn't born yet. That's a long time ago. Well, I've never seen a Lions team that was legit good. This is the first legit good Lions team I've ever seen.
They were never good when, like in Barry Sanders days, they were never good?
No. They never
won. I saw them in the playoffs and stuff. No.
I think there's the other crazy stat that we used to knock around. This one is the Lions won more playoff games in 1958 than since 1958.
Oh, no, stop it. That's
not. No, that's a real thing. I'm not sure I have the year right, but that is a real stat. I think they won one playoff game against the Cowboys in like the 90s. I think that's it. They have one playoff win in like 50 years.
Wow.
Yeah. They had, with Barry, they were sometimes okay. And with Megatron and Stafford, they were okay. But they weren't any real part of a conversation to be in a Super Bowl. You know what I mean?
Is it weird that one of the first people I think of, probably the first one I think of after Barry Sanders, when I think about the Lions being good, is Scott Mitchell.
Scott Mitchell, is that a kicker?
Lefty QB, yeah.
Scott Mitchell. I don't know that one. I think of all these like wideouts they whiffed on, all these Charlie Rogers kind of guys, Mike Williams and Scott Mitchell QB. What year was that? That's another fun thing to look up.
I hope I have that right. Let me see if I can look that up. Scott Mitchell.
Yeah, you got it. What year? Oh, he's born in 68, so he's a hair older than me. Yeah, okay. That was kind of in the era when I wasn't paying close attention yet.
I'm looking at comments over here. I forgot how smart and funny the comments are sometimes.
You can see them from where you are?
Is this true? Yeah, I can see it. So is it Ewan Mead?
I think it's Ewan, but I don't know. Let him correct us.
He says they lost to the Eagles 58-37 in the playoffs with Scott Mitchell at QB.
Oh, wow.
58-37.
58? In the 80s or 90s? That must have been 90s.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, putting up 58 in the 90s is a serious beatdown.
Unless you were the Houston Oilers, right?
Oh, my goodness gracious. Kyle Jolink, he's a big lifelong Lions fan. He's chiming in. 1991, they beat Dallas. The Barry teams are only okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of how I remembered that. Jerry also says Love's numbers match Rodgers from his first season.
Okay. All right.
Well, they're in similar situations. They both had to sit for what in modern times is forever behind someone else.
Some other asshole.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he's good. You gotta go do the press conference. You're like, I just am here to do, you know, do what's best for the team. Do they give out like these cliches for players to look at before they do interviews?
Absolutely. You don't think that's part of their media training?
It just
absolutely.
They just don't want him to get into a fucking paper story of any kind.
There's a reason they all say the same thing.
I get it.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
All right. We could do another little thing that we do.
Now it's time for which comes first. Oh, yes, it's time for which comes first. Now tell me, will this happen before that happens? It's time for which comes first.
Coach firing? Your coach. You're New York Giants.
Oh.
Or an Aaron Rodgers snap on an NFL field.
Oh, that's a snap on that's Aaron Rodgers taking a snap on the NFL field for sure.
Yeah, you guys hanging around? We're gonna keep this guy?
They're not going to fire him mid-season, and it looks like Rodgers is hell-bent on getting back just to prove that he can, like, take an injection of, like, horse sperm and be superhuman or something. Like, I really don't understand. That dude just loves him some him. And so,
love me some me. Yeah, is that Terrell Owens quote?
I think so. He'll be back. He'll be back. Dable is not getting fired. I mean, he's going to ride that Tommy DeVito wave for as long as he can. And so, yeah. Rodgers all the way.
All right. Well, go ahead. That's a good segue. Tell me about your Giants experience this year. I know you're not watching a lot, but there's buzz about that. I mean, the team was horrifically bad for the first month. And then it's been kind of, now they're back to average again. I don't know. Where are they?
I don't know. I was watching the and I'm not even exaggerating. I think this was the worst game I've ever seen in the history of any competition. That Jets and Giants game. Totally unwatchable. I just sat there on my couch. I think I was in a stupor from all the coaching. And I just sat there and I fell asleep probably in the third quarter because it was just three and out and punt. And then this is why, Dable not letting DeVito throw the ball at all in that game. I don't know if you remember that story.
No.
So I was watching it. Yeah, the Giants had the lead, and it was just punt, 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 back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Literally. I don't think DeVito threw the ball once. If he did, it was like after I fell asleep. But it was raining, and it was nasty, and it was like, you know, here's DeVito, third string quarterback, and it'd be third and 11 and they would run the ball, you know, and then if it didn't work, they just punt it. And they were playing the field position game because the Jets were doing jack shit on offense. So they were just like, we're going to run the clock out. And that's it. And I really thought if he was going to get fired, it would be shortly after that because that was embarrassing. And I haven't watched much after that because honestly, cool. I like the Tommy DeVito story. You know, it's nice. It's cool. He lives close to where I used to live up North Jersey. So you root for that for sure. Like a Jersey local guy who's the quarterback of the New York Giants all of a sudden.
Oh, and yeah.
And they're winning. What's not to love about that? You got to love right. that. So I do. Doesn't mean I'm watching, but I still love the story. I just don't think they're worth watching if Barkley's not playing and he's been injured for most of the season. So for me, it's not worth it to watch if Barkley's not in there.
Right. I do feel like there's some hope. There's some pieces that are there. I think Jalen Hyatt's going to prove to be a really good player long run, but you know, it's just chaos right now. And I have to say, he's one of the wideouts. He's like the rookie wideout from Tennessee, I believe. He's on the Giants. Okay. I've kind of been keeping my eye on him in dynasty fantasy formats. That's why I even know about him. I think he's going to be – he has a shot at being really good someday. But right now he's just in a pile of dudes who aren't being thrown the ball. And I will say, as a Falcons fan, I spent the first month of the season – screaming at the television, throw the fucking ball. What year is it in your game plans? And then one game they threw the ball a lot. And I was like, don't throw the ball. I was like, you can't throw the ball. You suck at throwing the ball. Stop doing that. So I understand the hide the quarterback move because I've witnessed it. And then I've seen him unhide him. And then I'm like, no, go back to hiding him.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So I have some empathy for that. But my team, I can't believe they're in first place. It doesn't make any sense.
They're in first place?
They're 6-6, and they have sole possession of first place. In their
he says sole possession like Gollum.
I know, right? Sole possession.
The precious.
Here it is. Buccaneers are 5-7. Saints are 5-7. Panthers are 1-11. So it's just a... It's like you guys. It's like your division from a few years back where they just like all four of them were bad at the same time.
Right. Or the Patriots of Tom Brady's years.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Some nerve that guy has talking smack about how the league is mediocre now, right?
Yeah, it's off-putting. I'm sure that it's a little bit out of context, but still, you shouldn't. He knows better than to say something that could be grabbed out of a pile of things.
Wow, that's his job now, right?
I guess. We haven't seen him do that yet. Is he going to be great at that job?
I don't know. I thought it was really awkward to see him. I think it was last year during the World Cup when they made – or the Women's World Cup where they, like, made him do, like, some pregame speech. And I was like, oh, man, this is what a contractual obligation looks like. This sucks.
I didn't see that. That makes me want to look it up. That's really funny. I think I got so excited about which comes first. I forgot to let you do your taps.
Oh, that's okay. I was going to do Travis Etienne. He's been really great for me fantasy-wise. And I just kind of like took a chance. I was like, you know, I think I like this guy. I like this player type, right? And right. He hasn't really broken out yet. So I was like, all right, I'm just going to grab this guy. And he's the number three ranked running back in our league. So I'm like, I guess I did all right with that one.
I know. You and I are scrambling for the same couple of like fifth or sixth playoff spots, if I remember right.
Yep.
You know, we're kind of in the mix there to make the playoffs, but we got one more game. I mean, tonight, Etienne's tonight. I have him in a different league, so that's why I know that. But
I feel like that the All-Pro Lions fantasy league is Susan's world, and we're all just living in it.
It's crazy how well she does year after year after year.
Right?
Oh, she sniped me. I wanted to get Lamar Jackson, and she picked right in front of me. It's like, yoink. I'm like, oh,
yep. Ah. Yep, she does that.
Yeah, she does that. So good luck in that league, but not too much luck. I might need you to lose this week, as a matter of fact, now that I'm thinking about it. Well, it'll be very helpful to me and my hopes and dreams if you manage to.
I certainly respect that. The only thing that I could possibly do to help you out with that would be to bench Etienne tonight, but that would go against a lot of couth, ethics for the fantasy. The rest of the league probably wouldn't be happy with that.
That's probably right. Yeah, you probably better play him just to be safe.
But he's got a rib thing, right? So maybe they don't push him too much.
He does. He's got the thing McCaffrey had that ended up not being a thing. So it's hopeful. I'm not a doctor, but it was what was it? Oblique. It's an oblique injury, I believe.
Does that happen when you have abs?
I don't know that I can get an oblique injury. I'm not.
Don't you have to have obliques to injure?
I don't know much, but when a running back is hurt and it's not knees or ankles, I'm like, oh, it's going to be fine. It's fine.
Yeah, right. Yeah. They have like rib cages they can put over them, right?
Yeah. It's like do the thing with the shot, take some Advil, you're fine. Your oblique hurts. I'm not interested. Carry on.
Don't you have to have a thing to injure the thing? I got no obliques. What are you talking about?
It's very New Jersey. what about tell us more about you, man. What about the albums and the recordings? Are we going to do an album? We're going to do one here at some point this next few months. Let's do some.
Yeah, let's do it, man. So yeah, we talked about it a little bit. I know you're gearing up for it pretty soon. I'm ready whenever you are, my man.
Okay, we'll find a location. I've got one that's possible, and we'll figure it out. Maybe you fly in and we do some recordings and drink some beers and hang out.
Yeah, let's make a whole trip out of it. That'd be cool.
Yeah, but I'll take you somewhere fancy like Peoria, Illinois. That's kind of what I'm thinking.
I know. Yeah, you touched on that. If that's the spot, I'd be happy because you've talked about it so much. It sounds magical. Like
it's there's something kind of magical about the club because it's no reason that it should work or still be there. But it's run by a menschy dude who loves stand up and he's just been hanging every time I work that club. I think I should take a picture because it might not be here by the time I come back. That's been like 20 years of that. It's a tiny, tiny town to have a multi-night comedy. It shouldn't work, and somehow it works. And the people who come are great, and the layout's good, and it's a little gritty. It's one of those places you don't want to see with the lights on. It's one of those kind of, you know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It used to have a strip club next door that burned down, and it had a dirt like racetrack across the street.
What?
I know. Those are the three like entertainment destinations out on the outskirts of Peoria, Illinois. And I think the dirt track is shut down. The strip club's burned to the ground. And I think the comedy club is the last thing out there.
Oh my God. That I would never, if you were pitting them up against each other and you said which one goes first, I would say the comedy club. That's amazing. Course.
Everyone would have bet on the comedy club to be gone first. Yeah.
Wow.
And if he someday burned it to the ground and made $400 and left town, that would make perfect sense.
Yeah. I mean, I just watched Goodfellas the other day. So, you know, familiar with that move.
All right. It's so funny because in the old days, when I first started dating Krista, she was busting my balls because I would take her to gigs once in a while. And they were always in these very pedestrian middle American towns, which is where I'm known, you know? And finally, I was always kidding her. I was like, why don't you take me to one of your gigs? And she did. Right. She took me to fucking Brazil. I'm like, okay. Oh. And she had a speaking engagement in Spain. I'm like, all right, your gigs are sexier. I see it. You're right.
Yeah. I can recall, you mentioned Erie and it brought up some memories for me.
Oh, right.
What was the name of that club? Is that where you're going again?
I don't know. It's not. In fact, that club, I don't think is still, I think on paper it still exists, but they don't do shows on a regular basis.
It's called JR's Last Laugh.
I was just going to say it's a Junior's Last Laugh, I think.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That was the first time I've ever seen a colostomy bag live and in person.
That's your takeaway.
Mostly. I mean, I remember, like, you were nice enough to let me open up for you, which is ridiculous because I was like I was like an embryo in doing stand-up comedy. And it was a good learning experience for me. I did okay, but mostly not great. But the enduring memory of the club, besides, like, and I'm not saying this to kiss your ass, but watching you work like 3 days in a row was pretty cool. And watching how you changed things up and played with things. I remember that, like, studying you kind of hard and just trying to learn what I could. Yeah, cool. But besides that, it was, I don't know which show it was, but it was after one of the shows. Some guy, it must have been like, we did the radio show the one night, and I think it was the show after that, because I think he got the free tickets or whatever that they gave away to promote the thing. So he's talking to me about that at the bar, and he's like, he had some bag on his hip, and I was just like, I had no idea what it was, and he told me what it was, and he showed me what it was, and I was just like, this is comedy? What am I doing here in Erie, comedy. Pennsylvania, staring at a colostomy bag?
It's funny because I remember a handful of things. One was the hotel was walkable, but it was a little sketchy. Do you remember the hotel being a little like, it's fine? Like you had to kind of wince to be like, it's fine.
A little, yeah, a little. Yeah.
And yeah. I remember you and I planned to go. And then last minute, we figured out on the calendar that my wife and I had to try to procreate. So she had to come with.
Yep.
And it was, which made it a little weird to drive that far with the three of us.
A little bit.
And then, of course, when you're with a woman or a girlfriend or a wife or whatever, you notice a little extra that the hotel is sketchy.
That's true, because you know she was sitting back. If she didn't say, she probably said something because she spoke her mind. But even if she wasn't, you know she's thinking it, and you're just in your head the whole time, like, oh God, she's gonna suck. This sucks. This is terrible. I went to an Airbnb. I had a similar situation recording an album. This was right before COVID in San Francisco. And I was trying to save a few bucks, get a cheap Airbnb. And it turns out that it's like a hostel.
Oh, super cheap. Extra cheap.
Yeah. And I was like, and I brought, Alex came with me. And so we got there and Kostaki, there was pubic hair on the toilet. And the bed sheet was off the bed. It was like one corner was off the bed. And there was like space eaters. And I'm so cheap, man. I was like, we should get another spot. We should get another spot, right? But we stuck it out, and I can't believe that we stuck it out because this was disgusting. But so the Erie hotel was not quite that bad,
right?
But yeah, I do remember it being a little sketchy. Well, I was by myself. I didn't have a lady, so it was fine.
Right. So that's the thing. Like, I mean, I've been doing this for almost 30 years. I stay wherever. I don't blink too much about it. But when you're with a girl, and you're like, you're showing her what your life is like, you know, out here in the gritty, you know, you kind of, because the range of hotel rooms is so big. Sometimes you go, yikes. And sometimes you're like, why would they put me in a place this nice? You know, like it doesn't make sense the other way. Like this place is crazy, crazy nice.
You know, she's like, ew, this man wants me to have a baby with him. We're going to bring a baby into this world?
This is the world?
Disgusting hotel rooms and colostomy bags?
That's right. Driving to a gig, not flying. Driving
8 hours. Long. Eight-hour drives.
Driving too long to a place and getting there and going, all right, it's fine.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do one more segment, my friend.
All right.
This one's short. This is just a fun fact that I found.
All right, kids. Put your thinking caps on. It's quiz time.
The Patriots made NFL history this week. First time in the Super Bowl era, a team lost three straight games while allowing 10 or fewer points. So they kept the other team to 10 or fewer points, three games in a row, and lost all of them.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting? And SportsCenter last night had some extra version of this stat where all of the other times that's happened out of like 60 times, that the teams won, and somehow the Patriots lost all three of these. This is the first time this particular sequence of things, three in a row like this, has happened since 1938. With what team? We'll make it a two-parter.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, man. With what team? Oh, man. What teams were even around?
I know. That's exactly what I thought. It might be fun to knock it around because when I saw the team name, I was like, I didn't even know that was a thing.
Oh, okay. Wow. I'm not going to get it then. That's for sure.
It's a mascot, you know, in a different city. There's a hint. Yeah?
Is it a mammal?
No, it is not a mammal.
It's not a mammal.
Why did that take me a minute to remember? I'm like, live birth, breastfeeding. No, it's not a mammal.
Sorry, I'm taking biology class.
That's hilarious. No, not a mammal. It lays eggs. That's, that helped me remember so, that's not a mammal.
So it's a bird. Okay. Yes. is it a bird of prey? Does it have...
I don't know the answer to that. When I imagine it eating, I think it's seeds, but I'm no expert.
Is it? So I might be cheating because I saw the comment. St. Louis Cardinals?
That is very close. It's the Cardinals. But in 1938, they weren't in St. Louis yet. They were in some other city. That's what I thought was interesting about this.
Okay. Where were the Cardinals?
Any idea? Impossibly. Tom Bernard the host of a radio show in Minneapolis knew this today. I was like, what? The Chicago Cardinals.
Wow.
I know. That's why I was like, I never even knew that. I mean, no, they moved around, but I didn't know they were in Chicago.
Yeah.
And in 38, because I think the Bears came to Chicago in the 20s. So I guess for a while there was more than one Chicago team.
And the Bears said, this town ain't big enough for the both of us.
That's right.
So to speak.
Ron Milford says Chicago Cardinals. Look at this. People know this kind of stuff. It's amazing.
Oh, he said it? Ron knows stuff. He either knows stuff because he's 100 years old.
Uh-huh.
Or he's really quick with the Google.
He's weirdly not as old as he sounds based on his knowledge base, but he retains all the weird. He's like an almanac for football from his youth.
Yeah, that's what it feels like.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess that's what you have to hold on to when you're a Vikings fan.
Tom Bernard, also a Vikings fan, so maybe that's what's happening there.
Yeah, okay, all right. Makes sense. I feel like Brian Miller would know that too.
So, my friend, we are approaching the end here. Where do people find out more Aaron Hodges stuff? Maybe some albums from You Lucky Dog Productions or whatever you want to promote, my friend.
Yeah, youluckydogproductions.com. Check out the albums and stream them, buy them. That's about it. Yeah, I'm not really active on the socials anymore. But, you know, the only Aaron Hodges on Instagram? I don't know. You want to say hello? It was really good to see some old faces and names and comments and jokes and all that stuff.
Ronald Schultz just now jumping in. Yeah. Some of the names you know. Tony Hoffer and Jerry Oliver and Ron Milford. It's cool. It's cool.
Thank you guys for coming in. Thank you for having me.
It's great to see you, buddy. Don't be a stranger. Come back. Tell us some more soccer tales, you know, sometime again.
Soccer tales. Sounds fun. I will, man, for sure. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Aaron Hodges. We wouldn't be here without Aaron Hodges. I mean, I don't even know how to edit stuff. I'm using the template that you handed me a year ago. So thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. It's been fun to continue to do this. And I miss you more than you think. Certainly stuff way beyond that.
Well, I appreciate it, man.
Play some music and then fade us out. See, this is one of the things I struggle with. See right there, I was fading slowly, but it sounded like a fast fade.
It did sound a little jumpy.
That's an example of something that I miss.
It's tough to do, you know, with the mouse, the finger, the mouse finger. It's tough. You got to be real delicate.
It's very tricky. Wait, we'll see. It really should come in. It's not. Doesn't follow very. It's more like steering a boat. Like you got to plan ahead.
Yeah.
And by the time you realize you're going to hit the dock, it's too late to turn.
This feels like the Titanic. Is this how all the episodes end now?
Not traditionally.